Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to RSPRadio1.com and Right Side Patriots. Craig Andreessen from the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It's Friday night, the 19th of November. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and what a happy day this is.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's Friday. I mean, that always, you know, Friday is always a good thing. Other than that, anything happen at all today of any consequence?
Well, you know, just a little teeny thing that might show that America is turning the tide back to common sense.
Really?
A young man who was wrongly accused of homicide, of murder, has been found not guilty on all five charges.
You know, I got to tell folks, let me do this. Before we jump into the Kyle Rittenhouse thing, and the whole first segment, it's going to be Kyle Rittenhouse tonight. Yes. Let me just tell you what else we've got on the show. It's only a one-hour show, okay? And Diane, you're covering a piece you wrote, this been about 11 days ago.
Yeah.
Vaccine misinformation versus the truth. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say this has something to do with COVID-19.
Has something to do with all the nonsense about COVID-19, and I'm going to give people some truth.
Well, that'll be coming up here in about 28 minutes. That'll be the second segment of our show, but let's deal with the whole Kyle Rittenhouse thing tonight. You and I were hanging out on Skype earlier today, and it was about lunchtime. I know it was lunchtime because I could hear Diane eating soup. This is one of those inside the Right Side Patriots deals. Diane has the loudest bowls and spoons in creation.
Well, because I happen to like soup very, very, very hot. So I have ceramic, big mugs that I put it in, so you hear the noise of the spoon hitting it and everything.
Well, and yes, and it was, it was, this noise. And, but anyway, so it's like lunchtime, and both of us were paying attention, as we have for seemingly eons, to the Kyle Rittenhouse thing. Today was day four of jury deliberations. And all of a sudden I said, whoa, they're in the courtroom. And all of a sudden, the family of the victims, quote unquote, air quotes, they were being brought in. And I said, Diane, they got a verdict.
Well, you know what? We kind of suspected that, because juries are known, when they are deliberating a long period of time, that they usually will reach a verdict by a Friday because they don't want to have to come back on Monday.
Well, there was talk about them even working on Saturday this week if they had to. But, the spectators come in. Rittenhouse is in there, the prosecution, the defense, all those attorneys are in there, the judge is sitting there, and the jury comes in, and, the judge says, have you reached a verdict on all five counts? And the answer was yes. And they handed the papers over to the judge. the judge flipped through them very quickly and handed them to the court reporter, who then began to read off charge one, not guilty, charge two, not guilty, charge three, four, five, not guilty.
Right, but the main charges were number four and five. The right. first three had to do with reckless endangerment, but the last two actually had to do with the murders. I mean, he did a public service, but I mean, with the homicides themselves.
Right.
And I mean, I sat here with bated breath, but I knew all along that if these 12 individuals on the jury were decent human beings and looked at those videos and what was done to that young man, being hit in the head with a skateboard, being kicked in the face, et cetera, et cetera, how could it not be self-defense?
Well, see, that's just the question that everybody who actually watched this trial had.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was just astonishing that it took as long as it did to reach the official verdicts in the case. But when that fifth one was read, I think Rittenhouse took his first breath in 2 weeks.
Yes. What they put this poor young man through is a disgrace. Those prosecutors, and let me say something about them, they are cowards on their side, because originally the head prosecutor, if you will, was supposed to take the case, and he passed it down to the underling because he knew they had no case and he didn't want that loss on his record, in my opinion. And this prosecutor that was there, he should be brought up on charges and he should have his license taken away, because that stunt with the AR was an absolute disgrace, with his finger on a trigger, pointing it at the jury. That man needs to be reprimanded in his own right.
I can't argue with any of that. I mean, you're right. That was a stupid, stupid, stupid thing to do.
Yes.
You know, Rittenhouse himself kind of collapsed into a heap, mm-hmm. you know, when the final not guilty was read off in court, and
stress release reaction.
Absolutely. You know, mm-hmm. now we've got to say things right now in Kenosha seem quiet, and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the way it ought to be. However, there have been BLMers out there threatening violence in Kenosha tonight. You know, verdict came down, they went hog wild and started threatening that they were going to burn Kenosha again.
Well, what I would like to know is, what the hell is BLM doing there? There was not one black person involved in this incident whatsoever. None. They are there strictly to stir up the angry sorts. They are there to cause trouble. To BLM, everything is racist in nature, even if race is not involved in it at all.
Well, and look, BLM's not the only entity out there trying to make this all racial. The mainstream media today, after the verdict came down, they have been tripping all over themselves, still trying to make it racial, still trying to proclaim that Kyle Rittenhouse is guilty. Joy Reid
mm-hmm.
cannot stand her, but she was out there saying today over on MSNBC that Kyle Rittenhouse was crying white tears.
Oh, please. I didn't know tears had color.
You know,
she's,
I mean,
so beyond dumb.
But this is the kind of crap that's been going on. The mainstream MSNBC, who, by the way, got kicked out of the courtroom
right
yesterday,
yes.
You know, they're still flogging that dead horse. Okay.
Well, you know what's even funnier to me is Joe Biden, a president like what Obama did with his Trayvon Martin comment. If I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon Martin. That was the beginning of the whole racial dagger being put into America's back. And now you have Joe Biden calling this kid, before he even had his trial and his say in court, a white supremacist. And then today, after the verdict was read, he says, while I will accept the verdict, I don't agree with the verdict. I'm paraphrasing there, folks, but that's basically what he said. I mean,
he even said he was angry about it.
Yeah, that he was angry. He was disappointed that this young man got off. Kyle Rittenhouse is a fine example of what American youth should be. And by the way, what most folks don't know is he was asked to go and help out because the police were not being allowed to do anything. So the media has lied right from the beginning about this entire case.
You know, during the coverage this afternoon, I was flipping around on the channels, and I think I was watching CNN at the time. I'm not positive of that, but it was either CNN or MSNBC. And they were carrying a speech being given on the steps of the courthouse by Anthony Huber's girlfriend. Now, Anthony Huber is one of the two that was killed that night. Okay?
He's the domestic violence one.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Assault and battery, domestic abuse, false imprisonment, and felon with a weapon.
Okay. Right.
Now, Huber, in the course of events that night, was the guy with the skateboard that, you know, when Jump Kick Man tried to kick Rittenhouse in the face, Huber is the one that ran right over the top of Rittenhouse and tried to grab the gun.
Right.
Okay, and he also, you know, with his skateboard dragging along behind him in his other hand, he hit Rittenhouse in the back of the head. Now, it wasn't a swing of a skateboard like we've seen in so many other videos, but over the course of the last year and a half, we have seen a lot of people absolutely beaten to a pulp with a skateboard. Okay, so don't tell me that a skateboard can't be a deadly weapon.
Exactly. Now, of course it can.
Now, as he tried to do that, and this is at the same point where Grosskreutz was just about ready to point his gun at Rittenhouse's head at point-blank range, Rittenhouse first fired at Anthony Huber, then from his seated position because he had fallen onto the pavement, he turned and fired on Grosskreutz and just about blew that guy's arm off, but he killed Anthony Huber. Now, Huber's girlfriend was standing there on the steps of the courthouse today and talking about what a great guy Huber was and how much she misses him and just what a fine, kind person he was.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like, really? Convicted felon, assault and battery, domestic abuse, false imprisonment, felon with a firearm? That guy, that Huber?
Well, you can imagine what kind of woman this person is.
Well, exactly. And she was telling me, you know, we want him to be remembered as a guy that just loved people. Really? And yeah. and a guy who just loved to go skateboarding. Really?
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And she said, unfortunately, there will be no justice for Anthony. And I thought,
for a piece of garbage, that next time he got arrested, we'd be paying for him again.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
So I thought about that for about 10 seconds. And I thought, you know what? In life, everybody makes bad decisions from time to time.
Sure.
We all do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you make a bad decision at the exact moment your life ends. That was Anthony Huber. Now, to say there's no justice for Anthony Huber, no justice for Joe Rosenbaum, really? Because I think they did get the justice they had coming. It just happened to come at the end of Kyle's gun.
Well, you know what? The kids of Kenosha are safer tonight with him gone. Remember, this is a pedophile who broke his probation. He's a, I believe it's stage three, I call it.
Yeah, level three sex offender.
Level three. I'm sorry, level three. Yeah. I mean, the children of Kenosha can sleep a little, you know, safer tonight. You know, Kyle did not go out to kill people that night. Fate had a different ending in mind, and unfortunately, he had to do what he did. But he saved his own life by doing so. This was out and out self-defense. And when that prosecutor stood up and said, no, you don't have a right to self-defense if it's going to kill someone else. I just wanted to throw something at the television when I heard that.
I know. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
Yeah.
This is what's happening in this world where it's topsy-turvy.
You know, NBC News anchor Lester Holt said that Rittenhouse was able to, quote-unquote, provoke a violent situation and then successfully claim self-defense in court. Bull, he didn't provoke anything. He was the one being chased. He was the one being hit with a rock. He was the one knocked to the ground. He was the one getting kicked in the face. He was the one where the guy was trying to grab his gun, and he was the one who the other guy was pointing the gun at.
Exactly.
Exactly. Don't give me that crap.
It was all you had to do, guys, was look at the video. The video said everything. That's all you needed to see. There were certain things. Self-defense is obvious. If someone is attempting to hurt, kill you, don't you have a right to defend yourself? And by the way, it was announced today from Kyle's attorneys that he would be leaving the area because the threats against him are very severe. I'd like to offer him, come to Florida. You'll be honored here. You'll be respected here. You'll be treated as a hero that you are. And we have a great governor here that'll make sure you're well taken care of.
I mean, I watched the trial. I watched the evidence. I listened to the witnesses. By the way, virtually every witness the prosecution called proved that Kyle Rittenhouse acted in self-defense.
Exactly. That was the funniest. I mean, you and I spoke after that, and we said, did we just hear this?
Yeah.
They made the case for his innocence.
I mean, unbelievable, you know?
I mean,
now
this was the most inept prosecution I have ever seen.
I got to bring up here one of Diane's favorite people of all time.
Who?
And I just want your honest reaction on this.
Okay.
I'll give you the quote from the tweet, and then I'll tell you who said it.
Okay.
We just witnessed a system built on white supremacy validate the terroristic acts of a white supremacist. This only further validates the need to abolish our current system. White supremacy cannot be reformed.
Oh, gee. Let's see. We got a choice here. It could be Obama. It could be the Moo. It could be the likes of Ilhan Omar and crew.
You're so far off. So far off. That's your buddy Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, that ass? I don't know. There's no other way to say it. A man who is half white, raised by white parents, is quite like, you know, Obama. He hates his white part of himself.
Yes. Yes. Oh, but think about that for a second, okay? He says we have to reform the whole system. That's proof. We need to abolish our current system. That's his words. We need to abolish our current system. My dear Colin Kaepernick, what if you were accused of a crime you did not commit? Do you want the system that protects you, that views you as innocent until proven guilty? Do you want that system abolished if you get accused of a crime you did not commit, Mr. Kaepernick?
Well, I can think of a crime he has committed. He's defamed and dishonored this country.
His hair is a crime.
I know. What he's done and the whole starting the knee nonsense, that's traitorous actions against this country. If I was president, I'd find a way to send him elsewhere.
Can I give you another quote and then tell you who said it? Today's verdict is a stain on the soul of America and sends a dangerous message about who and what values our system of justice was designed to protect. We must stand unified in rejecting supremacist vigilantism and with one voice say, this is not who we are. Another one of your favorite people, by the way. Andrew Cuomo.
Oh, I was just thinking of him. I just didn't get it out fast enough.
Now think about that. The verdict. Not guilty. Not guilty. Okay? Self-defense is a stain on the soul of America. All right? And he's still continuing to call Kyle Rittenhouse a white supremacist and a vigilante.
Well, you know what? Andrew Cuomo needs to keep his big mouth shut. You know, the one who caused how many elderly Americans to die? Talk about murder. Talk about someone who has contributed to the death of hundreds of people. This is the man making a statement like that. You know what he can do with his statement?
he can put it where Biden got a colonoscopy today.
I was just thinking.
Okay, here's one more. Well, I got
Kamala,
one more.
Kamala was president for a very short time. Hillary must have been like, oh my God, that should have been me.
I'm going to give you one more.
Okay.
My condolences go out to the family and friends and loved ones of the victims in this difficult time. Let's also remember and pray for Jacob Blake and his family as he continues his journey of rehabilitation. Lori Lightfoot. Okay.
You know who I was thinking?
Who?
Pelosi.
Well, it sounds like something. Yeah. It sounds like something
she would say.
I can see that. But the family, friends, and loved ones of the victims.
Yeah,
of the victims. The victims of what? The victims of their own demise?
Yeah.
Because really,
well,
that's what they were.
They're still victims. They put themselves in that situation. Look, when those two men were killed, a public service was done. We got a pedophile off the streets forever. And a man convicted of, you know, domestic abuse, basically kidnapping, illegal imprisonment, not supposed to be in possession of a firearm, yet having a firearm. I mean, this is who these people are defending?
Yeah, I know. It's sick, isn't it?
It's sick. It's sick, but I think tonight's verdict, this afternoon's verdict, signals a turn for this country. After Virginia, the strong showing in New Jersey, mayors winning races here and there. This is a turning point, guys, that if we stay the course, 2022 can be the return of common sense to this country. And yeah, we will still have either Biden or Harris, but they will be politically impotent to do anything. If we can take back the House, get a bigger, you know, margin in the Senate, they're done. They're just figureheads.
I'm looking forward to November next year.
So am I.
I mean, I really am. But let me just clear something up for these idiot liberals. Okay. And sure. you brought this up earlier, Diane. You said everything's upside down and backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me explain. Let me use their own words to illustrate exactly what you said.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
Cuomo calls Rittenhouse a vigilante. Lori Lightfoot calls the people that got shot and killed the victims. When the reality of the matter is, it's the other way around. Okay. Kyle Rittenhouse was the victim in this.
Correct.
He was the victim of getting beat, getting guns pointed at him, getting kicked in the head, getting chased down the street by somebody yelling that he wanted to kill him.
Okay. Right.
Rittenhouse became the victim of vicious smear campaigns by the mainstream media and Joe Biden. He became the victim of smear campaigns and some of the nastiest, most vile crap I've ever seen coming from, guess who, Hollywood celebrities. Okay.
Oh, of course. Meanwhile,
the vigilantes in this thing were the guys that got shot.
Correct.
Okay. They were there to cause trouble. They were already troublemakers. All three of them had felony raps.
Right.
Okay. They were the ones there causing trouble. Grosskreutz pointed a gun at Rittenhouse from 2.5 feet away. Okay. Huber tried to grab the gun and was hell-bent on beating Kyle Rittenhouse. Jump kick man who got shot at, but that's the only guy Kyle missed.
Oh, that's a foot in the face.
Yeah. Yeah, that's jump kick man. Now, he got shot at.
Foot in the face.
Yeah. He got shot at, but he didn't get hit. Okay. And then you got Rosenbaum, who was chasing him through a parking lot, yelling that he wanted to kill him. Those are your vigilantes. They're there to riot, to burn things down.
Exactly.
Those are your vigilantes. Rittenhouse was the victim.
And you know what this... Not only that, but you know what this case has shown? BLM is a bunch of BS. Okay?
Yep.
To them, everything is racist. There was no racist motivation in this case at all in any way, shape, or form. And this case has also shown that justice can be served. It might take time, but sometimes the right thing is done. And today, the right thing was done. This young man was given his life back. And I hope he sues everyone from Biden on down. They crucified him before hearing any evidence whatsoever.
Don't be surprised if the quote-unquote victims' families tried to sue Rittenhouse in civil court.
It won't go anywhere.
Well, I wouldn't think so, but I'm just saying don't be surprised if they don't try it. I don't think we've heard the last of this crap yet.
No, I don't either, because even the attorney today alluded that things are coming. You know, he has to leave the area, but he's not saying certain things that have been discussed with the family. And that leads me to believe that lawsuits are in the making, and rightly so. And I hope he gets a godzillion dollars.
I do, too. I do, too. All right. So we've made it to the end of this segment. We've got one segment to go, and it's all Diane's segment coming up, folks, because she's going to tell you about vaccine misinformation versus the truth. Apparently, and I'm sure this comes as a shock to most people, there's been a lot of crap being said about these vaccines that may not necessarily be true.
Especially with the booster shots, and more people who now were vaccinated are the breakthrough cases, not we, the unvaccinated.
Diane's going to clear it all up for you here in just a couple of minutes. We got to take a quick break, get a couple of station IDs in. Stay with us. More Right Side Patriots after this. You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Glad to have you along with us tonight, folks. We appreciate it. If you miss any part of the show, just go to rspradio1.com in the morning and we'll be there. You have to click the podcast button, but that's as far as you got to go.
Yep. And it'll be up early tomorrow.
We appreciate our pod people more than they know. We can't say that often enough. All right, so this vaccine thing has kind of been in the news lately. I don't know if people have really heard about it or even know that there is a vaccine, said he sarcastically. You have been following this closer, I think, than anybody I know. And I, you know, you and I, we talk about stuff all the time, but I don't think I bring this up, and I should. And so I'm going to do it on the air instead of just when you and I are chit-chatting during the day. When I come across people that have questions about the vaccines and questions about the COVID and all that kind of stuff, I refer them to your articles.
Oh, thank you.
You know, because I say, look, you want the truth? You want to know what's going on here? I got just the person for you to start reading. And I send them over to your blog and I give them the link to an article, if it's got something directly to do with a question they asked me. This article is going to be yet another one that I'm going to be handing out to people, and we hope everybody else does too.
And I will be honest with people, I do have medical connections. So it's not like I'm just making these things up.
And that's what I tell people. I say, you know, you want to hear this from somebody, you want to read this from somebody who is connected in the medical field. Okay, somebody who has people that she can go to and she can say, is this right? Is this right? Is this wrong? And she'll get to the bottom of it. So Let's start with this, vaccine misinformation versus the truth.
Okay, and let's start by saying COVID-19, the bane of us all, whether we personally have been infected or not, has seen a virus being successfully used as a political weapon to not only help steal an election, but to change the geopolitical landscape of not only our country, but the world as well. A virus, what is but a minuscule piece of genetic information, saw COVID-19 doing the only job viruses are naturally programmed, or in this particular case, bioengineered, to do, as an infect, alter, and then keep reinfecting its host until either the host's immune system is successful in fighting off said virus before it does irreparable harm, or if a large population is affected, until herd immunity kicks in, which in time it eventually does. And know that herd immunity, when reached, signals the end of a virus's reign, for no virus in man's history has been able to wipe mankind out. That obviously is an indisputable fact. And while most viruses do eventually either burn themselves out or become but a simple annoyance, medically speaking, of course, and do so with or without man's intervention, to understand how and why COVID-19 has been so successful in its endeavors, one must understand the very nature of a virus itself. And while I do not myself personally have an MD next to my name, there are some scientific and medical basics, virology 101, if you will, that common sense alone should help dictate. And fact number one is that a virus needs a host to do its dirty deed, while bacteria, the kind that cause bacterial infections, can and do exist without a host being needed, for bacteria are actually living things that can survive and replicate on their own if need be. Viruses cannot, thus meaning they are not alive, so to speak. Think of it this way. A virus is more parasitic in nature, in that it needs a host to feed off of in order to survive, in order to replicate itself to where it becomes numerous enough to do its host bodily harm. Also remember that while most viruses do harm, retroviruses being the exception, as they can live in healthy folks without causing overt disease, some bacteria are actually beneficial to us. Gut bacteria is but one example. And while antibiotics can cure a bacterial infection, antibiotics do nothing against a viral infection. With current antiviral medications being limited in scope and tenuous in regards to effectiveness at best. So, Craig, how does COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2, actually do its dirty deed? We do know that COVID-19 primarily spreads by means of airborne transmission, where upon entering a host body, it places its genetic information into a cell, including, if need be, into beneficial bacterial cells. After all, viruses do not discriminate against cells, as any living cell will do. But what many don't know is that once inside a cell, the COVID virus then instructs that cell to make copies of itself until the host body is so overwhelmed with virus that one starts to show the first outward symptoms of COVID illness.
Well, so they're like, kind of like little nanobots that attach themselves, kind of pre-programmed in a way, the virus, you know, is. So is it all sunshine and lollipops, for the virus once it gets attached to the host, or does the virus have a shelf life, so to speak?
Well, it does. There's a downside here regarding the virus itself, for if the virus kills its host cells too fast, it then has less time to, quote, get out and find a new host, so to speak, as the virus itself dies when its host dies. Simply, a virus cannot replicate itself without being inside a host's living cell because the information needed to cause illness is dependent on having a living cell to translate said information into the components needed to become part of the virus particle that carries the information from one cell to the next. Complicated, I know, at least on the surface. But when you understand, even on the most rudimentary level, how a virus works, only then can you understand why vaccines are not and will never be the end-all be-all to COVID-19. No matter what Dr. Fauci and crew want you to believe, no matter Biden's mandates as well. Why so? Simply because we know that viruses mutate and evolve, usually growing stronger before becoming weaker, especially if the virus itself is relatively stable, as in survive for a long period of time, with virologists now believing that COVID-19 does remain active in the environment for days. This makes them tougher and more complicated to fight each time they do resurface. The seasonal flu is a perfect example of this, as a new flu shot is recommended every year just to keep up with the flu's newest mutation. And it's simply because our immune system cannot recognize what is now the current invader. And this is exactly what the powers that be intend for COVID-19 to become, a seasonal variation mutation of itself, so that shot after shot is needed to keep it at bay. And here the biggest winners are both the pharmaceutical companies who produce said vaccines. You can read about that in my previous article, The Business of COVID-19, as well as our government itself, who can once again mandate one rolls up their sleeve and get jabbed or lose their job and or be barred from schools, restaurants, social events, etc. It really is about control after all. And so, Craig, by the time a virus does burn itself out, one's now mandated passport will be a book in and of itself.
I just got to tell you something, folks, okay? This is why I recommend people read Diane's articles, all right? Because you published this on the 11th of this month. Now,
right.
Before you published this, the week before that, you published The Business of COVID-19.
Right.
Okay. Now, if you go all the way back, folks, to the very beginning of this whole vaccine business, Diane was talking about, are we going to need a vaccine booster shot just like we need the flu vaccine thing every year? Well, today on Fox News, I heard a doctor telling Neil Cavuto that, you know what? It might come down to the fact that we just need a vaccine booster for COVID, just like we have to get a flu shot every year. And I'm thinking, Diane's been saying this for a year.
Absolutely. I've also been saying what we needed all along is an antidote, but that's another story because remember, this is an engineered virus, folks.
Now there's some epidemiologists that are out there, a lot of people with MD and PhD and all sorts of initials after their names that are talking about this stuff. What are they saying?
Okay. This is a quote, folks. The unvaccinated should be afraid of the vaccinated. They're just as infected. In fact, maybe more infected. If vaccinated people are infected, so it is well known that it is the vaccinated people that generate the mutant strains and not the unvaccinated people. And that has led that corruption of the medical establishment saying that unvaccinated people are generating the mutants is an absolute falsehood. It is exactly the opposite. This has been known for 100 years that it's vaccinated people who are more prone to generate mutant strains. Now that it was said by Yale epidemiologist Dr. Harvey Reich. He's an MD and a PhD. Now, As for the COVID vaccines themselves, all the vaccines currently in use are really just a form of antivirals, as they're either comprised of a component of the COVID virus or are an actual diluted form of the virus itself. And while the vaccines are said not to cause COVID itself, their components still grow, if you will, within one's body, meaning the virus remains active to some degree and therefore can still transmit the illness to both the unvaccinated and at times the fully vaccinated. Breakthrough cases, they're being called. However, there's nothing breakthrough about them, as this can and does happen with any and all vaccines given. How so? First, to be effective, vaccines need a certain amount of time to build up full protection, usually a full week's time or more, meaning that in the case of COVID-19, a fully vaccinated person can still contract COVID-19 either before or in the weeks after being vaccinated because the vaccine did not have enough time to build up needed protection. Or, so it's been said, because the truth is that while a successful vaccine induces a response from the body to make antibodies against a given disease without the risk posed by infection, that does not always happen in regards to the COVID vaccines. And why? Because the COVID vaccines in current use are unsterilized in nature, meaning they are simple antivirals where a component of COVID's viral DNA or RNA has been slightly altered in the hopes that it, quote, disrupts the process by which the COVID virus replicates itself instead of actually stopping replication in full. And herein lies the problem with the current form of the jab, because for one to gain full and much needed sterilized immunity against COVID-19, one's body needs to produce enough neutralizing antibodies to counter the spike protein of SARS-CoV-2, along with T cells that can kill infected cells or help other cells perform their antiviral functions in order to stop. Craig, COVID in the long term, not simply disrupt the virus's replication process. What's needed is a vaccine that produces lifelong immunity, hence no booster shots needed, which is definitely not the case with today's COVID vaccine, nor with the now foolishly sanctioned mix-and-match booster shots being pushed on the gullible masses.
Okay, so if I'm getting this correct, the vaccines are helpful, but they're not the cure. I mean, I know I'm kind of simplifying it here, but aren't all the vaccines that are available right now, none of these are sterilized, are they?
Not these three. They're the Johnson & Johnson, the Moderna, and the Pfizer. But simply all of today's COVID vaccines, while reducing the severity of illness and hospitalization for some, still allows for the COVID virus to be shed by those fully vaccinated. This means even they can catch the very virus they were vaccinated against, which for a growing number, it sadly seems to result in death. Why so? Because the number of cells infected overwhelms even their immune system, as the vaccine they received was unsterilized in nature. Need proof? It's been reported in the scientific journals Nature, Medical News Today, and even in National Geographic that data from COVID-19 tests in the US, the UK, and Singapore show that vaccinated people who do become infected with the highly transmittable Delta variation of COVID actually carry as much or more virus in their noses than do unvaccinated people. This means that despite the protection offered by vaccines, a growing proportion of fully vaccinated people can easily pass on the Delta variation, the variation now accounting for most of the new cases here in parts of our country. Now, this is a quote. The key to ending the pandemic has always been the immune system. That was said by Steve Templeton. He's an immunologist at the University of Indiana School of Medicine. So much for Joe Biden and Cruz blaming, we still the unvaccinated, for the rise in COVID cases here in the U.S. For if truth be told, it's we the unvaccinated who now seem to have more natural antibodies than those who were jabbed. And that's probably due to our having exposure to the virus, yet having immune systems strong enough to fight off said virus. And while vaccinations do play a key role in us reaching herd immunity, simply because a certain percentage of folks do need to be vaccinated for herd immunity to start kicking in, the fact remains that we still and will remain unvaccinated. Wisely know that only herd immunity will be what in the end slows down or possibly even ends the COVID pandemic. And no words from proven liar Dr. Anthony Fauci or politically generated mandates from Joe Biden will ever convince us otherwise. Case closed.
You know, there's so much out there about these vaccines, and so many people are pushing it. You know, you got to have a vaccine mandate. Everybody needs a jab. One jab, two jab, three jabs, four, five, six, seven, eight jabs more. You know, I mean, it gets to the point of being ridiculous. And like you say in this piece, there are more and more and more people who've been jabbed that are coming down with COVID-19.
Exactly. And that's very, very dangerous, folks, because all they're saying and all their, you must be jabbed, you must be jabbed, stand your ground. Herd immunity will serve us better in the long run than any of these vaccines are until, at least until, I should say, a sterilized version is produced. If it can be produced. I don't know if it can, because COVID, remember, yes, it's based on a naturally occurring virus, but it was engineered and manipulated.
That's the problem right there. Once you go in and tinker with it in a lab setting, it's no longer a natural virus.
Exactly. Exactly. And that is where the problem lies. That's why all along I have been saying from day one, we needed an antidote. What they did was create a bioweapon of sorts. Now, I'm not saying it was deliberately, released on the world. I don't want to go into that aspect of it. But it's still a bioweapon of sorts because it was engineered. It was fooled around with. Its structure was changed. Why would you do such a thing?
Well, see, that's the question I was just going to ask. If you're not going to make a weapon out of it, why would you do it?
Exactly. It doesn't make any sense.
You know, I mean, I just don't understand that for the life of me.
Yeah, there's no reason for this to have been manufactured. There's no positive to what they did with this virus. The SARS virus, of which COVID is one, has no benefits for mankind. You know, there are viruses that are beneficial.
Right.
This is not one of them and never has been.
No.
Why would you do it? And Fauci has known all along. He helped fund it. He knows all about the gain of function research. He is a bold-faced liar, in my opinion.
You know, every year there are words that come out or phrases that come out that there's some website at the end of the year that says we need to ban these for all time, or the most overused phrases. I think gain of research is going to be on that list this year.
It might very well. Maybe Fauci will be on it himself.
Yeah.
And then, you have someone like Biden, who will do whatever he's told to do. And now he's pushing this. He's threatening people's livelihoods. He wants the people that are helping the nurses, the doctors, the EMT, the first responders, if they don't get vaccinated, they know better than most people that the vaccines aren't what they're purported to be.
Folks, the title on this op-ed, Vaccine Misinformation Versus Truth, two places you can find it. Go to thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com. You'll find it either place. What you want to do is read it, hang on to it, and share it. Share the link.
Yeah, I've written, I think, about 20 articles these past almost 2 years on COVID. Maybe between 15 and 20. I have a hole in the top of my blog in the page there, COVID-19. Every article is right there.
That's the easiest. Yeah,
right. That's... And you will see right from the beginning, I have spoken about antidotes being needed, that this is not what it seems. Right. This is not something I've jumped on to as time has gone by. I've been on this since the beginning.
Folks, grab the link and get it shared. That's what we're asking you to do. Now, in the couple of minutes that we have left tonight, I just got to bring this up. We briefly mentioned this earlier. Joe Biden had a colonoscopy today.
Oh, and how did it turn out?
Well, I don't really care. I mean, I'll be perfectly honest with you. The inside of Joe Biden's butt is nothing that interests me. Okay.
That's true.
But here's the thing.
I only meant it in the sense of, will this be one of the reasons they can, you know, Amendment 25 him out?
I don't know. But here's the reason I bring it up. The only reason I bring it up, for 85 minutes while he was under anesthesia, getting his butt probed, Kamala Harris had presidential powers. And now the liberals,
Hillary Clinton was just beside herself with envy.
She probably had her butt clenched as tight as he did. Yes. But here's what the liberals are saying now. They're saying Kamala Harris has shattered the glass ceiling.
Really?
Yeah.
Kamala Harris is the lowest rated politician, I think, in history at this point. Her numbers are lower than Biden. Kamala Harris is a joke.
If your definition of having shattered the glass ceiling is sitting in somebody else's chair while they have a television camera shoved up their rectum,
yeah,
you've got a pretty loose definition of shattering the glass ceiling. Now, I'm not saying she didn't get close to the glass ceiling, okay? But I think a bug on a windshield is closer to the definition of shattering the glass ceiling.
I agree with you 100%.
Plus, may I remind people of Eleanor Roosevelt, for goodness sakes?
Right.
Yeah. I think Eleanor Roosevelt had more to do with presidential powers than Kamala did while Biden was getting his butt reamed out.
Oh, God. Oh. Yeah, no, I mean, ridiculous. The whole thing is absolutely ridiculous. Kamala Harris is we had a saying when I was growing up. Kamala Harris and people like her, they're the biggest waste of protoplasm there is. We use that all the time as kids.
100% agree. Folks, we've come to the end of the show. If you missed any part of it, especially our chat about Kyle Rittenhouse and the not guilty across the board verdict today, you'll want to go to rspradio1.com tomorrow and click the podcast button, because I'm telling you, I don't think we've heard the last of it, but Kyle Rittenhouse was found not guilty 5 times and walked free out of that courtroom this afternoon.
Yes, and that is such great news, and it really gives us hope that we can get our country back on track.
It's a big step in the right direction. But with that, Diane, we have come to the end of the show, and I think it's time we say goodnight.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend. Coming up next Tuesday, our Thanksgiving special. You don't want to miss that. Bye-bye.